Blog Talk Radio.
It's Breaking Chains with Young Adults Talk on YAT Radio.
Glory to God, glory to God. We're back again, Breaking Chains, Breaking Chains. I'm trying to see if Prince Yesha, are you on the line right now?
Praise him, sir, praise him.
Glory to God. We're going to ask you to give us a word and open us up with prayer.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today, for
thank
another
you.
Beautiful day today. Father,
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You for peace today, Father. I know there's some bad things in the news, Father, but we thank you for peaceful days and peaceful times.
Glory to God.
You give it to us. Holy is your name. We pray your kingdom come, Abba Yah. Your will be done on this earth as it is in the heavens. Give us today our daily word. Father, we just need our daily word. You say if we get more of you, that you get closer to us and we'll leave anything that we have problems struggling with. Give us today our daily word. Forgive us of our sins.
Glory to God.
Forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into the temptations of life, but deliver us from evil and the traps that we walk in. By day and the terrors by night.
Yes,
for yours
Lord.
Is the kingdom, for yours is the power and the glory forever and ever, and the Master Yahshua, who is your Son. He is our King. He is the Messiah. In his name we pray unto you, our Father, O Yah. Bless the more as he explains to us today. Bless me, sir. You take over and you let your will be done. Let it flow that the people can learn today from
glory
the
Lord.
We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise.
Yes, Lord.
In Yeshua's name we pray, y'all. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, we just praise you. We just worship you. We just magnify your name. God, there's none like unto you, Yah. So we honor you, we praise you, we lift up our voices to you. We give you all the honor, we give you all the glory, Father God. We give you all of the praise. In the name of your Son, Yahshua, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Brother, can you give us a praise and worship? Let us go into it and get into the word. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. Welcome into this place. Welcome into this broken vessel. You provide, you decide to bless my mind and my soul, so I live my heart and I live my soul and I offer up my praise unto your name. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Father,
thank you, Father. Thank you,
Father.
Lord.
We thank you. Father, we pray that just everything will smoke.
Yes. We praise you, Lord. We praise you.
Hello, world. Shabbat shalom, everybody. As they say,
glory. Glory
to the Hebrew,
to God.
In the Hebrew
Hallelujah.
Language.
Hallelujah.
If you were blessed to be sitting between Hebrew people, they would say to you, Shabbat shalom. And that's in your Bible, just in case anybody wanted to know. But it is the greeting that we give everybody to say, hey, you're having a peaceful rest day. You know, everybody may not have the ability to take off, you know, on a Sabbath, but, you know, they enjoy their day off. It ain't nothing like enjoying a day off, you know what I mean? So, but
glory
if you're
to
blessed
God.
To be able to do it at the same time that the Father does it, then that's a
Hallelujah.
Double win. You know what I mean? So,
That was in our Bible study last week. Second chapter of the book of Genesis, in the second verse,
right.
It says, on the seventh day, God ended all his work,
right.
And he made it
right.
a day of rest.
What?
Glory
That's
to God.
Right.
And he set aside that day. And you know, and they're still keeping they still keeping the Sabbath in heaven to this day. Glory to God.
That's right. That's right. The
Glory
angels are
God.
Every day, and that's found in one of those books, one of those extra books we're gonna read soon. It talks about how the angels and how the, even these tablets, there was these rules that was already written in heaven. So when he was establishing the beginning of the world that we were talking about, he already had a system to mock. So right, because see, so the earth, this earthly realm, mocks. That's how Moshe, or a man named Moses, we call, was able to mimic what the tabernacle in heaven looked like, because they already got one in heaven, and we just repeated what it looked like here on earth. So, and that's something wild too. So, it's like having heaven on earth. When you do what he say, do what he say, do it, you start to have heaven on earth, because he said peace got to come to you.
And that's you know, the prayer that you just prayed. You know, that's the key to it. It says, let thy kingdom come and let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily provision. You see, and that's a right now prayer. That's not an after a while, by and by. You know, that's a right now prayer. Okay, man, let's get in this word. Man, let's get in this word. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
So you gave us a review, but we actually got through the second chapter. And where we want to start at, bro? We're going to start.
Well,
enlighten us to where we started from at first.
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir, as a recap of last Shabbat, we were just giving everybody, you know, our point of view of what we need in life and what our goal is, which is to read and understand and be able to go and bounce from one place to another in the Bible. And the way to do that is by reading and understanding the story. So the first chapter was talking about how creation had happened and when things was made, and the second chapter was as well. And the second chapter went into more detail about, you know, the making of mankind. And we learned really big nugget keys, like number one, the day doesn't start when the sun rises. The day starts when the sun goes down. We learned you know, it's 7 days in a week and ain't no 8 days in a week, which that's a little nugget mystery there, because, you know, men lie, women lie, but numbers don't lie.
Was the first day. Amen.
Right. And he had 7 days. We learned that. We learned about the first marriage, which we missed that. I was listening to the last one. So, you know, he put the marriage in there too. He said a man got to leave his mama house and his wife and take. So that means men got to man up and listen. It's one of the rules he originally established when this world was made, that you got to get up off your behind and take care of your woman if you really want this woman. And y'all got to be fruitful in all the business you do and multiply. So that was another one that we read it, but we ain't going into detail. Mm-hmm. So this time we're going to get into Genesis, the third chapter, which is real tricky. Now, remember, every time we read what we're reading, there is nuggets upon nuggets in this book called Bible. That's why nobody can refute it or defute it, because there's so much vast information written about history and events and things that will happen in the future when the book is older than the event that happened. So there are nuggets in this book that we read, and different people have different collections or amounts of those nuggets. So, but the more you read the book, the more nuggets you get. So we're in Genesis 3rd chapter. We can learn about your chief enemy besides yourself, because you could be your worst. You could be your own worst enemy too in life. But your chief enemy, which is in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord, or remember that's in Strong's Concordance, H3068. That's Yahweh, or we'll just say Yah, right? Yah, God, remember God is Elohim. So it reads, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yah Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, so that's weird, a snake speaking to a woman, yea, has Elohim said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he asked her a question. Now, so, okay. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. In case, that word least, lest, means in case, which I don't know why we can't say that at every church in America on Sunday. So everybody in the crowd know what you're talking about. Who says least every day when they really mean in case? I'm sorry, sir, but sometimes that's weird. In case you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He lied to her. For Elohim does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he's calling you gods right here. So when we tell you, brothers, when we walk by you, we tell you, you're God on this earth. The books say you're God right here. You ate the fruit, therefore we gods on earth. And ladies walking around on earth, you're a goddess. It says it right here. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Gods know good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. So Adam and Eve were standing right next to each other. You know, sir, I didn't know that for a long time, Elder. I was told at one time in life that Adam went off and got tricked by the devil, and it was something a family member or something explained to me, and it gave some type of negative energy placed upon women, when really both of them were standing right there, so both of them was equally guilty. But I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean to interrupt that, but that came to my mind, and the Father helped me not be mad at women for these things, but understand we both was standing right there with that devil, and it ain't no fight between me and my woman. Oh, she the weaker vessel. She always doing something wrong. No, both of us have problems, and both of us fail. But both of us need deliverance, and both of us need forgiveness. Verse 7, right, sir?
Mm-hmm.
And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of Yah, or the Lord God, walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And the cool of the day is right in the beginning of the morning when the sun rises and it's getting kind of warm. And also at nighttime, like right now, as a matter of fact, in the center of the world when the sun's about to go down. In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yah Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. And Yah Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent tricked me. Beguiled means trick. The serpent tricked me, and I did eat. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. There is an animal on earth who slithers on its belly that when they do autopsy, it has legs that just won't grow out. And its tongue sticks out and eats dust and dirt on the ground all day long. The serpent, all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Enmity, and I will put enmity. I had to look up, sir. Enmity means, here it is, by definition, hatred. Okay, hostility, automatic hostility. So women and snakes have an automatic hostility against each other. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. That's another one of those nuggets. And this scripture is very, very powerful for us who are studying to highlight this scripture specifically, because it's going to help us understand other things later on in the future. That's a really important scripture, okay. Verse 15 on down, really this chapter. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow at your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that's a hard one right there in today's world, sir. That's a hard one, man. That's a hard one. But I mean,
you never know, but every woman in her heart of heart wants a man that's going to be a man in her life. So, but we'll talk about that. Let's go through our chapter. Glory to God.
Yes, sir. Yes, Amen. Sir. Hallelujah. Well, we pray to all of our beautiful feminine energy of our family sticks mm-hmm. on to whatever Yah's word is. Because if we don't take our opinion on the topic and we follow his opinion and everything that happened, we can never go wrong.
Glory to God.
So we'll just
exactly
stick to whatever the story say. Right. Because whatever way the story say we should live, whatever the Father's opinion is about whatever topic we're talking about, if we want to be good and we want to be great and we want to be in the best situation, even when it comes to your finances, because when you walk in wisdom, you want, the Bible say wisdom got money and smart inventions next to it. So anytime you're next to that, you ain't never got to worry about nothing. So, but we're just going to follow whatever the word say. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. And your conception. In sorrow, thou means you. You shall bring forth children. And thy means the. Shall bring forth children. Thy is your. And your desire. And your desire shall be to your husband. And he shall rule over you. This is why little girls are in love with weddings. That's why they love the baby dolls. They get a Ken and a Barbie, and they get a house, and they get this, because they love, their desire is to have a husband, and he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because you have heart, you have listened, hearken means listen, listen unto the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. Sound like we're supposed to be farmers right here, sir.
Uh-huh.
In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground, for out of it was you taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. Now, I don't know if y'all are paying attention, if you're able to read along with us. We're reading out of the King James Bible. And if that's a really good version of it, I learned from that. I know Lamore has learned from that as well. Well, if you're going to do that, we got to start defining, like Lamore said last week, defining these words. Like we speak common English of 2020, 2019, and we don't say art a lot. So for dust thou, we don't say thou a lot. So for dust you, we say thou, we say you. So it's good to replace those words so that the word can be clear to you to understand when you're reading it, because it's hard to read the scripture sometime or get an understanding when it says whether so art thou hitherto, and you never say those words every day. Verse 19, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground, for out of it was you taken, or for out of it were you taken. For dust you are, and unto dust you shall, and unto dust shall you return. The same thing we were talking about yesterday. Any human takes a bath, there's a ring of dust around you. And Adam called mm-hmm. his wife, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. In Hebrew, it's Hawa. See, because the man is the strength, the man is the Yah, the love is the woman, because we ain't nothing but his energy. The love is the woman. She's the Hawa. She's the love. She's the life. She's the living. That's what it really means. The first woman, wife of Adam. It means the living. She creates life. It's a beautiful thing to be a woman, especially to be a woman of the Most High. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also was, and unto his wife did Yah Elohim make coats of skin and clothe them. And Yah Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, in case he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, sir, there was a tree in the garden better than the one that he was having a conversation about her eating. We could have been living forever. Your mother, the tree of life, your mother, father, sister, brother, cousin could have never died if they would have just held on to what the father said and ate of the tree of life first. Then if you did choose the good and evil, you wouldn't die. You live forever. But I don't know. They was babies. They wouldn't think it, sir. They was babies. And he tricked us. He tricked
they were
us
deceived.
All.
They were deceived.
Right. Verse 22, and Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man is, wait a minute, I believe I read that. I think we're going to go to verse 23.
Read it again,
right?
because it says, this is God speaking, and he said, behold, the man is become as one of us.
Right.
God.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So when you read in the book
that's
of Psalms, that.
That's what we've become. We become above the average. We become like the God. We become like them. We become those supernatural spiritual beings. And until we get that notion that we are a spirit living inside of a human body, we're missing our potential. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. We almost finished.
No, sir. No, sir. We're all together. That's a good word to me, sir. It is what the word said is. I mean, you ain't saying nothing against the word, then you can't lose that way. So, verse 22 again, and Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, in case he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and with flaming sword, which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. And that's chapter 3, sir, chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry or wroth, and his face or his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lieth at the door, and unto you shall be his desire.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
I mean, it's right outside your front door, waiting on you to do what you did wrong. That's how fast these spirits that we be calling the devil this and calling and all is when we don't do what's right and you sin, whatever sin you got, it could be possible that it came to your front door waiting on you. Because you done what you done and you ain't apologized. Man, I never really saw it like that, sir. You say sin lieth as if it's laying there.
And if you ever watch a little baby, you watch a little baby. When I'm saying watching him, you watch his character. You watch what he does. Watch his facial expression. Even though he can't communicate in words at the time, he shows you that nature that's in us, that sin nature that's in us, that as soon as they do something that they know is wrong, that they sense is wrong, they react to it. Go ahead, bro.
Right.
We are living spirits inside of a physical body.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. And here is a nugget as we get later in this class, and I hope everybody's grabbing the things that we're talking about, and we're going to definitely go over and into it, because we're just getting a good part of the story. I don't know how much longer we got, sir, but we did finish chapter 3.
Well, once we finish the 4th chapter, we have time enough to explain both of them.
Oh, great. Okay, good. Yes, sir. So I stopped the chapter. I'm sorry. I was looking at another thing. I think, okay, I'm grabbing the verse back again, if you can help me. So I believe it's verse 7, right? And if you do well, shall you not be accepted? Yes, sir. Verse 7. And if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. Now, see, I didn't know what this scripture meant here, sir, but I found it in another part of the Bible that was taken out in the 1600s, and it talks about who that person is desiring Cain, and it goes into a story, sir, that says that since Adam and Eve was made and the devil was here first, like we were talking about last week, the devil had come on, he was already defeated, he had already come down. When he was down, Adam and Eve was made and everything went on, and Adam and Eve was living on the earth, the devil and his angels would attack Adam and Eve at all times. And he was trying to kill them on multiple attempts, and then he finally got cool with Cain. And when he got cool with Cain, this is who the Father was talking about right here. When he says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto you shall be his desire. The his right here is the devil. So the devil was messing with talking with Cain. And he was telling Cain, nah, man. See, what really happened, sir, they was born with twins. It was a twin boy and a twin girl. Twin boy and a twin girl. And Adam and Eve were going to split them off, so that the oldest son, Cain, would marry the youngest son's twin sister, Abel's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And Cain's sister would marry the younger brother, Abel. But what happened is the devil used jealousy of the beauty of women. Cain's sister was more beautiful than Abel's sister. And Cain got talked into killing his brother over which woman he was going to get by the devil. And that used to be in the book. It's something called the, I believe that's in the book of, I don't want to misquote it, but we'll get it. If I can't find it here, we'll find it by next class. Thank you, Father. Verses 8, sir. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And Yah said unto Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. And when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahweh, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And Yahweh said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark, a tattoo, upon Cain, in case any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife. See, I had a grouping of people talk to me, sir, in an organization that liked to build things. And they said, see, brother, this don't make sense right here, see, because how could, if Adam and Eve had two sons, who was the wives that they married? And when he said that to me, sir, that is a bona fide statement. If all you know is this book, because this book never explained to you that Eve had daughters.
But
so when you say to me,
that could be overturned with just a couple of words that's saying, and in a process of time, Cain took a wife. You know, because they were steady multiplying, and as you were saying, quoting the book of Jesher, you know, there was more going on than what we see in the book of Genesis. So we're going to explain all of that to them verse by verse and scripture by scripture, and we're going to go to the other scriptures in the Bible that support, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how we establish the word.
Right. Yes, sir. This part of the story say the same thing as this part of the story, and it's this part of the story say the same thing as this. It's like an epiphany came to me, sir. It's like reading a book, and then somebody else starts talking about a book, and you say, hey, I've read the book called White Car. And somebody else says, yeah, I've read the book called White Car, too. You know, that was so funny in chapter 6. And you'd be like, chapter 6, yeah, that was funny about the stool car, right? And they say, no, chapter 6 is not about that at all. Chapter 6 is the racing game that they invented. Did you read the book? No, but then 5 minutes later, you'll quote a scripture that came out the book. But that's the spiritual warfare, because there are things out here that don't like you because you read this book, that don't like you because you're on this team, that don't like you because you just want to give an opportunity to read the story to at least know what's in it. So when someone says something, you'll at least understand what the story is talking about. So if it say the children of Israel was chosen out of all of these children of man that we're about to go into understanding from Cain and Abel all the way down through Noah and all these people, and that he chose one certain people to be a mighty priest and kings and police of the world and speakers on behalf of the creator of this world, and that you may be a part of those people, and you may not even be a part of those people. You might have chose with your mind to understand the story from the beginning of it to the end of it and agree to do what the things inside of it said to do. And it says that you can be entered into the system of life that will come to this world, and that is vastly come. Matter of fact, it is here now on this world, because it says something in a whole other part of this book about a valley going to dry up so that armies can flow through it. And that certain valley in that certain place is actually drying up, you know, in our world today, in this world. So, verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch, was born Irad, and Irad begot Mahuyael, and Mahuyael begot Methuselahel, and Methuselahel begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. He married two women, and the name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father as such.
Now let's look at that for just a second. I know we're gonna expound in the scripture, but when we talk about believing the word of God and living the word of God, we see how far we have gotten from the course of this word, where it says,
right.
And Lamech took unto himself, he took two wives. Now, the culture that we live in today is completely abstract to that, where legally a man is only allowed to marry one wife at a time. All right. So you're going to expound on that a little bit, and then we'll go right back into the word.
Yes, sir. And the funny thing about that is we were in four chapters in the first book of the Bible. So now if all the people in the world love this thing called Bible, the first four books say your whole life's supposed to be different. Your whole life's supposed to be different. You ain't supposed to go to church on the same day you go. You can marry more than
that's
one
right.
woman, and yet frowned upon. It's so many things that's different that you do today.
You're not even lining up
just
with
read.
The first four chapters of the Bible, that you're living
and
completely abstract to the ways of God. And this is what we're trying to get you to see, that the word of God is clear on what it's saying. And we're reading to you verse by verse, scripture by scripture. We're giving you the whole story. A lot of you haven't read the book of Genesis. You read through the book of Genesis, but you haven't read the book of Genesis because you are believing the story, the fairy tale story that they told you about Adam and Eve, and the story that as my young minister was bringing out, how they portrayed the woman as being the villain in this, when no, she was not alone. She was not alone. The Bible tells you she was not alone. That man was there, that Adam was there, and he witnessed this. Okay, so we're not making this up. Okay, we're giving you the facts, and you're reading the facts right along with us. All right, let's hurry up and finish so we can get deep in this word.
Yes, sir.
And Lamech
yes, sir.
Took to him, okay, two wives. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, give me 1 second. I'm almost with you, sir. Yes, sir. Verse 19. Yes, sir. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwelled in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Now that person right there, sir,
the musician.
And a whole nother,
okay.
The musician.
Okay.
It's a story about him, sir, that tell you where
all
the original club ever came from. The whole thing we call the club
right
now
is
created from that man. And he had a demon jump into the devil himself, jumped into him as a little boy, sir. He built anyway, that's the other books that they decided that we didn't need to read and they took out from us that would give you an understanding of who that person is, Jubal or Jubal Cain. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handled the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, listen unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. And if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 17 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim said, she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. I'm sorry, let me read that. That sounded funny, sir. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim, she said, For Elohim, said she, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Thank you, Father. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and began men to call upon the name, and then began man to call upon the name of Yahweh. Well, that's beautiful. So
no,
there was a time on earth where all the people knew the Father's name and called his name.
That's right. That's right. Everyone. When everyone.
That's our two chapters there, sir. Chapter 3 and chapter 4. And we are about 40 minutes in. You want to go ahead and go back to chapter 3? Because there was something
yes,
in chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
That,
yes,
yes, sir. That really got to me. And I explained this to someone once before, and I hope it made sense. Well, I just want to show you how tricky, because I got daughters right now. I love my daughters. And so I tell them all the time, look, men are tricky. But men learned this trick from somebody else. And so it's slick talking. See, the devil is a slick talker, and it shows you right in Genesis. He going to ask the woman, and not a woman. She also added information, more information than what was given to her. See, the father gave Adam the command of don't eat this tree, you know. But there was a whole other tree in the middle of the garden, which was the tree of life. Now, there was the tree of good and evil, which was also in the middle of the garden. So the devil playing a mind game, he playing a word game with her, saying, didn't he say, check it out. It says, and the woman said unto the serpent, wait, verse 4:3-1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Subtle, first of all, means tricky. In Hebrew, it's called arum. Subtle, shrewd, crafty, sly, sensible, crafty, shrewd. I mean, he's slick with everything he do. He got a trick up his hand. He cunning, right? So he can say something to you and sell you. You know, he can sell you that Buick that ain't worth $3,000 for $17,000, and you swear you had a good deal. And I tell my daughters, there are men like this. There are also women like this. It's a trick. But this is where it comes from. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yah Elohim had made, and said unto the woman, yes, Has Elohim said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? First of all, I'm sitting here with my wife. Why is you talking to my wife and ain't saying you to me, Adam? That's number one. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, in case you die. He didn't say touch it. He said eat it. He said don't eat this fruit. He didn't say if the fruit fell on the ground, you couldn't pick it up and throw it in the trash. Their whole job was gardeners. They were supposed to till the field. Their job was to keep the garden clean. See, so by words, by little simple words, the devil now can trick her in what she's saying. He said, don't eat that fruit. And he said there was other fruit in the inside the garden you can eat, like the one that you can eat and you never die. That's the one I probably would have. I don't know, sir. I don't know. We was all there, apparently, because we all are sons of Adam. But I really would have loved for him to be like, nah, let's just eat the life, the tree of good and evil first. And then we'll eat this one, you know, some kind of way to win in that situation. But the Father's good. And the way he set the world still came out to be perfect. So I'm thankful just to be alive. But that just always showed me, sir, within them scriptures, that he can say something to you, slick man or woman, to make you think a certain way when the Father said, do another way. Like a young lady said to me, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this man and this and a third of a man, if I want this man or not, just hypothetically speaking. So I said, well, what does the Father say? Well, she said, I'm waiting on him to speak to me. I said, well, are you going to move before he speak to you, or are you going to wait on him to speak to you before you move? So we are always in a situation like that. Whatever he said for us to do, if he said, don't touch this fruit, and don't touch this fruit, try your best. Well, you may make a mistake. Hey, it's possible. But you do the best you can to follow with whatever his instructions is concerning that topic and whatever part of your life. So if you're overweight, he say you can fast, really. You got a problem focusing. He say if you just keep your mind stayed on his scripture, he give your mind perfect peace. And you'll be able to focus on anything.
And if we can learn things from the scripture, you know, on the relationship, you know, of marriage. And when I'm talking about marriage, I'm not talking about the government paper where you go down there and sign. I'm talking about with the bondage that God has between man and woman. And it is very different from the laws and the statute and the culture that you have been taught. Okay, first of all, when we know that Adam was there, we know that Eve was there, and we also know that the serpent was there. And when we say serpent, we're saying that in a descriptive sense as a serpent. We know that the enemy was there. Let's just put it like that the enemy was there. And in your relationship, you're going to have to deal with those voices in that relationship because, you know, there should have been a part in here where Adam should have said something. Well, he should have said, wait a minute. You know, whatever we do together. You know, that should have been a conversation between the two of them. But this lets us know that the two of them were in agreement, that they both heard the serpent, and that they both was in agreement, because she saw that the fruit was good. She took it and did eat it, and then it said immediately she gave it to her husband. It didn't say that she walked back down to the river, but down there by her husband. She said immediately she gave to him, and he did eat. And it says, and their eyes were open. It said, it's, you know, just, and the serpent did not lie to them because he told them the truth. He said, wait a minute. He said, but the moment that you eat of this fruit, you won't surely die. You won't die, right? You won't die, but you will become like God to know good and evil. He did not lie about that part. because they didn't die, but they did become to know the difference between good and evil. And that in itself led them to the spiritual death that we see today, to the physical death that we see today. Had not they done that, they could have lived perpetual, and they could have lived forever. As back in those days, people lived to get 900 years old. People lived to get 700 years old with no problem. And they were having children and giving birth to children all of that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's break this down. Let's break this down to them, what really happened here in this transaction between, you know, okay, because the first thing that Satan wants to, y'all got to remember that the enemy wants to take the place of God. It wants to imitate God. Okay, so by having them fall to disobey the commandment of God, it put them out of right fellowship with God. It changed their changed the relationship of man and God. So I'll let you go into that.
No, that's absolutely correct. Because when you see the Father say he can't, he will not be in a same place where sin is. He can't. Mm-hmm. His mind, his eyes don't like looking at sin. He just doesn't like to see it at all. So when you are in sin, he ain't trying to be near you. But when we say sin, when you are living in a place where one of your habits that you perform breaks one of the rules that he's written in this book that we're about to read and write down and what we're studying about, that's technically called sin. So, but when you're following those rules that we're going to read and study about already, because plenty of them you're already doing in your life, just like all of us are, because most of what we're living in is the Bible. You can't steal nothing. Mm-hmm. You can't kill nothing. You can't take nobody's wife. That's the life that most humans in the world are living in anyway, which is the Bible. But yes, sir, it is sin, or breaking the rules of the Father, separates you from a supernatural power. You are a video game player. Life is a game.
Well,
when you walk down the street, there is coins on the ground.
Let's go in the Word. I mean, because we're getting short on time, but let's go in the Word. Let's look at the. Let's take them backwards. As God went, started with the serpent cursing him, then cursing the woman. Let's start at man. Let's start in the 17th verse, where because they did this and because their eyes were open, these are the curses that came upon them. 17th verse says, and unto Adam he said, okay, just what you were talking about, how our relationship changed between God and man. It says, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree, okay, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. It's number one, the first curse that came is, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Letting us know that beforehand, we didn't have to eat from this earth. We had everything on this earth to eat, but our lives were not dependent upon or sustained by food. Our life was sustained by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit man in us gave us perpetual life, gave us an abundant life, gave us a stronger life. When man fell to sin, he lost that abundant life, and that's what we regained and by receiving Yahshua as our Lord and as our Savior. That is that relationship that we rebuild with God. So basically what we're doing, we're setting ourselves back in right fellowship with Yah. And once we set ourselves back in right fellowship with Yah, then that abundant life, that new life, that new creation life that we felt when we gave ourselves to him, it comes inside of us and is a part of us. All right, but that's the 17th.
Yes,
okay, but this changed our relationship. It says thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, meaning that the world was going to be an adversary against us in this fight. We're going to have to tar the ground by sweat. By sweat, we're going to have to make a living. You know, it was not going to be a blessing. It was not going to be a garden for us anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you get into it. But that's what I wanted to share. And then
That's good.
With the woman, it changed her relationship because now her husband would rule over her. Now her husband would rule over her, as that wasn't the case in the beginning. Okay, go ahead, bro. Because I get in the
word. That's right. That's the point of what we're doing. We are on, our goal is to get the information for you to see it and understand it, line upon line. So when anybody start talking about Genesis, you know at least that chapter 1 talk about this, chapter 2 talk about that, chapter 3 talk about that. So it's all good, sir. So the thorns and thistles shall bring forth to you. You shall eat the herb of the field. He telling you your diet again. So we are technically built to be farmers. And because we sinned against the Father, the world's going to kind of be angry with me. I got an example of that. I cut grass at a landscaping business. When I cut grass, the trees be sharp. It got nails and be cutting up on me. But guess what? It's good money. So now I'm thinking here, what I'm going to do here, not get good money because of some tree branches? No, but I realized that Mother Earth is not, the ground ain't happy with us sometimes. Because if you farming like the Father say doing, thorns and thistles is hitting your legs and your arms. Landscape people, understand me. It's something about working
That's
in the world. And it cuts you. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and dust you are to return. That's when you die in them coffins at the end to be dust. This book is real because we can see it in life every day. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was a mother of all living. Eve, that's why it's New Year's Eve. Eve means the beginning before something is brought forward. That's why women are so fantastic in all kinds of ways, especially when they get to this word and they make their mind up that this word is what they want above any man or career or, you know, this word. And then let the word give them the career and give them the man in whatever order the Father seems fit for our lives. And Yah Elohim said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. And now in case he be put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. There's a tree on this earth. Plants, Dr. Sebi, cures people's bodies with fruits and vegetables. Therefore, I believe there's probably a plant on the secret hidden earth somewhere that you can eat and it give you everlasting life. If I can eat a certain food to cure diabetes that the doctors say can't be cured with regular fruits and vegetables I got every day, then is it not possible I can eat a fruit that helped me breathe underwater? He gave me dominion underwater. How many people is really underwater? Why can't I go create an Atlantis city? He gave me dominion under the earth, the waters under the earth. He gave me dominion in the sky. Why can't I build me a sky city? Why? Who says I can't do it? Everybody got on jetpacks. The kids are having a fantastic. The Father gave me dominion over these things. Anyway, I say that because when I was a child, I thought to have dreams that aspire in such a way. Because everything that you do in your life start with a dream that usually the Father giving you, especially if it's a talent or something you're good at, and you dream about it, you want it, you desire it, and you don't want it to be smothered. You might be the man who changed the future. You know, we didn't drive in cars all of mankind's history. This was somebody's dream. So therefore, 23, therefore, Yah Elohim sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground. Again, he's saying we're supposed to be ground tillers, sir. We're supposed to cut the grass at least or plant something. Like this made me want to plant some more.
And our diet should consist of mostly vegetables and fruits. And if we want to sustain long life, it behooves us to fashion our diet after the word of God. Because see, the lion eats what it eats, and the elephant eats what it eats. But the elephant outweighs the lion. Okay? And so God has a system in place for us. But now we have been deceived by the spirits of this world that we are not even eating wholesomely. We're eating those things which the word of God tells us expressly not even to eat, not even to touch. And a lot of these things we're going to reveal to you as we go on in the scriptures, that your diet is very important. Because just like you are what you think, you are what you eat. And the word of God keep hashing over and over again that they were eating of the herbs and of the fruits and of the vegetables of the garden. And this is what we're supposed to be eating. This is what we're supposed to be eating.
Exactly right. All right. And so we're printing out. This is so funny that within the first four chapters of this book, he done told us what way the Father in heaven wants, not what Walmart is selling, not what our mom and dad told us to get up and eat breakfast and cook grits and put together pork sausage sandwiches. And he has decided, I want you to get up, find a way to be creative with all these plants on this earth and make something delicious and live off that. And if you live off that, matter of fact, at the beginning of this time, before Adam and Eve and all of the fall and all that, matter of fact, right after this time, sir, they're going to live still 900-something years, because a thousand years is but one day unto the Father, and one day is a thousand years unto the Abba. So, you know, but that's another part of the script we're going to have to read in the future to learn about timing and the time of the Father, which we learned about that as well. So before we close up here, because I know we're running out of time, verse 23, therefore Yah Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Cherubims are angels. So, and we also now know on earth is Adam, Eve, something that talks, that's inside of a snake that can talk, or animals can talk, because they can.
Yeah.
In other situations, the Bible says that animals can talk, but he told them in another place. It's so fantastic to learn this story, sir, because you know what? See, it's like a movie. It's the greatest movie ever written. The Bible is the greatest movie ever written, because there's so many hidden things inside of it that if you would just only take the time to read it and have an imagination and imagine these things going. The reason he was a snake, that's another thing in this, sir. The Bible says that the anointed cherub, that cover, which is Lucifer, whom they like to call him Lucifer, that's not his name. He called himself Azazel, who is defeated, and we thank the Most High that he is defeated, hallelujah, so we don't have to fear him and all any of those who worship and follow him. He is defeated. So he is a shapeshifter, sir. He was the anointed cherub. His job in heaven was to be the front man, the hype man, to whenever the king of heaven walked in the room. And he had barrels built inside of him, so little mirrors where he could take the image and look like anything. So he was a shapeshifter. He could look like a snake if he wants to, or a dragon, because it had arms and legs at that time before it was cursed. But he has that ability to look like anything. That's why you have to have the ability to understand this word, because anything can come and trick you. And we're running short on our time. We have finished successfully, I thank the Most High, three chapters, sir. We done knocked out three chapters, and we're going to go into Genesis 4 soon. We're getting close to understanding certain peoples, what this thing called the Table of Nations, what the Moray is wanting us to get into, what I want to get into so bad, so that we have a full understanding of the doctrine that we all believe, that even the Christian man wants, even the Catholic man wants, even the Muslim man wants, because they all using the same book. They just ain't read the whole book yet. And we want all of them to get an understanding to fully do what they need to do in this walk of life, and that's to follow the rules of the Father, because he wishes for all of us to worship him shoulder to shoulder, singing the highest praise, hallelujah, like he will have it here soon. Sir, I love you, and I thank you again for another class today. I hope the class went well.
Glory to God.
Hopefully we can continue to build, because we're moving forward, sir. Anything that moves forward, the Father touch. Because if the Father's Spirit ain't in the place, it don't be growing, sir. But anytime something grow, that really means the Father's hand in it. And I know it was a little the time change on us a little bit, but hey, sometimes things happen.
Mm-hmm.
We still got it done for the Father. So,
amen.
These are our nuggets. If you want to pray,
we'll be reposting this, and we'll be pushing it out, and we need to get it on Instagram and get it on all the multimedia pages that we can. All right. All right, this is Men of Valor, and this is the Young Adult Talk Radio, and we're coming to you with nothing but the Word of God. And as you see, you know, as we begin to open up the scriptures to you, that you, that the custom that you're living in is far from the customs and the traditions of this word. And we're going to show you just how to line yourself up with the word of God. And we're not making anything up. We're going to you line for line, verse for verse, precept upon precept. We're bringing you this word without any doubt. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Father, we thank you. We love you. In your son, the Master Yahshua's name, we pray. Bless all the hearers of the word. Bless us for even reading. I don't care if it was just me, him, and two other people, you know, or one other person. We learned something today, and we thank you for it. We love you. In the Master Yahshua's name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful Shabbat,
Hallelujah.
Sir.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.